Good morning. Super excited to see everyone this morning. I know we have a lot of people out on trips and doing some other things, and we pray for their safe travels and for them to return back soon. If you have your bulletins, let's take a look at some stuff going on here, some reminders. October 21st, the youth is going to be taking a fellowship trip to Malibu Jacks in Lexington. If you're interested in that or you have a youth and you want to be involved in that, please get a hold of Raphael so he can give you some information about that. Also, October 29th, we're having our trunk or treat. It's going to have a hayride and a bonfire. Looking forward to that. We would like to have as many cars / trucks decorated as we possibly can. We would love to have the cars parked by about 5:45. Ish, we'll put ish on that if you don't get a park by then. Decorated for candy. The kids will walk around, do their trunk or treating, and then we're going to have a hayride and a bonfire with some hot dogs and some drinks. And so, looking forward to that. If you want to bring a dessert, that'd be great. We would love to enjoy your dessert along with you. But we're looking forward to that, using that to share the gospel and speak some truth into people's lives. So, we would love to have the church join us with that. Also, on that 29th, the 29th is going to be a big day for us, right? The 29th, immediately following corporate worship, on the 29th, the youth is going to have a fundraiser lunch for everyone, right? And so if you're interested in assisting with the youth in that, there's a sign-up sheet out there in the Hallelujah hallway. You can sign up on that. For everyone else, just go ahead and clear your calendars that the 29th, after corporate worship, we're going to have a meal together. So looking forward to that, going to be a good time of fellowship. You know, one of the things that I've seen our last couple of times where we've had a meal and we've had some fellowship, I've been so overjoyed that even when the food is over, you know, for a long time, you know, when we would finish eating, people would just scatter. You know, like how you turn the lights on and the roaches take off, right? But the last couple of times, people have stayed and they've talked and they've ate some more and talked some more. That's what we're trying to do for this food and fellowship. That's what we're working on, is to just gather with one another and be there with one another. And so we invite you to come and join with us for that meal. Also, this didn't make the bulletin, but I'll go ahead and tell you now, it'll be in the bulletin next week, is that if you have a beautiful singing voice, I know all of you are thinking, well, Michael, I'm sure you're into that. No. I got told this morning, and those of you that were here last week, you realize that my mic was left on during our singing, and Raphael said he noticed. He goes, man, I can't be that far off. What is going on? And he realized it was me, right? My man Andrew Perry tried to help me. He was pointing at the speaker, and I'm like, yeah, man, sounds good. Turn it up, right? So I'm not first in line to be in the choir, but I know many of you are blessed with the ability to sing, and you can be like me. You can just make a joyful noise, right? And so November 5th, the Christmas choir, we're going to have a Christmas choir. We're going to start practicing and getting ready for that. So if you would like to participate in the choir for Christmas, November 5th, beginning at 7 p.m., and we're going to have those practices every Sunday at 7 p.m., all right? Back to your bulletins. You see that we still have the shoeboxes out. We're still in the shoebox season. If you didn't get a chance to look out in the Hallelujah hallway, we've got a nice pyramid with a cross at the top of it. Peg, I don't know who designed that. They did a great job. Really cool. We had our kickoff last week where we watched the video and began discussing the shoebox ministry and what it looks like. The shoeboxes are out. Take some home. And when you take some home, come and get some more and take some more home, right? We're just looking for this wonderful ministry, you know, of how the gospel is spread through these shoeboxes. Very important time of the year for us. You see that we've kicked that off. The kicker is this. The boxes have to be back by the 15th of November, right? I encourage you to pray for your shoeboxes. Get together with your family. Get these things packed. Looking forward to another wonderful shoebox season. December 10th, Stellar Christmas at 6 p.m. That's going to be an extension of our VBS. Remember, Stellar was our VBS theme. And so there's going to be another addition to that for December 10th. And then the 17th is going to be our Christmas play. I know you guys are thinking, why are we talking about Christmas in October? Because it will be here before you know it. Right? I think Meredith told me last night how many days till Christmas. And I'm like, yep, it's almost here. Right, so that's why it's in there. But as you can see, lots of opportunities, lots of ways to serve here at Dallasburg. We encourage you to find ways to get plugged in, to serve. to do good works, not to your glory, but to God's glory. We're looking for those opportunities. And here at Dallasburg, we have a lot of those opportunities. But what we're going to do now is I'm going to pray for us, and then our musicians will come up here and begin preparing our hearts to receive God's word. You're going to be excited. This is our last sermon in Daniel. I know a lot of y'all are excited about that. Today will be the last day in Daniel, and we pray that as we receive that word, we use it as we go out into the world to share God's glory and to give us a better understanding of the difficult times that we currently live in. All right, let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for this morning, Lord. I thank you for our opportunity that you gave us in our small group studies as we began studying some hard truths. The truth began this morning with the foundation being laid of the only truth in the world comes from Jesus Christ, and that's where our truth comes from. And the truth is that those of us that are trusting in Jesus as our Lord and Savior are free from the bondage of sin. We are no longer slaves to that sin. So Lord, we thank you for that truth. We look forward to the continuing weeks as we begin to answer some questions from Scripture. Looking forward to that. Lord, thank you for our time this morning that we've had so far of discussing opportunities to serve, opportunities of fellowship here at Dallasburg. Lord, we just pray that as brothers and sisters in Christ, we have a desire to gather with one another, to come together as one body, to be unified in you so we can glorify you, shine a light out into a very dark world. We thank you for that. And Lord, we thank you for this precious time you give us upcoming, for the time to lift up songs of praise to you. Lord, I just pray that right now we're able to set aside the distractions of the day, the distractions of last week, and the distractions of the upcoming week to focus on you and to be reminded that you are the only thing in our lives worthy of our worship. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Well, good morning. Let us stand as we prepare our hearts to listen to God's word. And let us come together as his people, and let us crown him with many crowns, for he is worthy of being so. So let us sing that this morning. Crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon his throne. Hark how the heavenly anthem drowns all song. Awake my soul and sing of him who died for thee, and hail him as thy matchless king through all eternity. Crown him the Lord of life, who triumphed o'er the grave, stripe for those he came to save. His glories now we sing, who died and rose on high, who died eternal life to bring, and lives that death may die. Crown him the Lord of peace, whose power scepter sway. Can sing, crown him with many crowns, for he lives. So let us sing a classic hymn, but let us be reminded that we have that hope for tomorrow because he lives. So let us sing.
God sent his son, they call him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. And my Savior lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know because he lived. How sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy he gives. But greater still, the come ashore, this child can face uncertain days because he lives. Because he lives. All fear is gone. Cross that river, I'll fight life's fight, no war with pain. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory. I know he lives, because he lives. I can face tomorrow, because I know.
Think y'all like that song, huh? Amen. Because he lives, we can have that hope for tomorrow. Psalm 145, verses 4 through 5. One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works, I will meditate. Amen. Let's just read that last phrase real quick, Steve. On that, yep. It says, on your wondrous works, I will meditate. What a wonderful and great God we have, that he has given us the opportunity to meditate on the great works he has done. And the greatest work is that he has given his son Jesus to die on a cross for us, so that we, if we place our trust in him, we can be saved forevermore. So what a wonderful psalm to be able to sing, 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Let us sing.
'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, and to know the saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I praise him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust his cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me neath the healing cleansing flood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Yes, it's sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease, just from Jesus simply taking life and rest and joy. To trust him more. I'm so glad I learned to trust him. Precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that he is with me, will be with me to the Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more.
Amen. What a wonderful thing it is to be able to trust in Jesus. And this next song, I think it's a little new to us here at Dallasburg. Some of y'all might know it outside of here. But the key phrase here is, "Oh Lord, my rock and my redeemer." And what a wonderful phrase we can have to be able to describe our Lord. And that's why we trust in him. For he is our Lord, he is our rock, and he is our Redeemer. And I want us just to focus on the very first phrase we're going to sing, "Greatest treasure of my longing soul." And if we believe that, if we believe that Jesus is that greatest treasure, then that's what gives us hope for tomorrow. So as we sing this, as we learn to sing this song, let us focus that he is our greatest treasure. And let us sing, "O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." Treasure of my longing soul. My God, like you there is no other. True delight is found in you alone. Your grace, a well too deep to fathom. Your love exceeds the heavens reach.
true, a fount of perfect wisdom, my highest good and my unending need. Oh Lord, my rock and my redeemer, strong defender of my weary heart, my sword to fight the cruel deceiver.
Psalms 145, 6 through 7. They shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare you your greatness. They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness and shall sing aloud of your righteousness.
Let us pray. Our most gracious, loving God, we thank you for this time we've had to come together this morning in our small groups and study your word, and the time we've had just a few minutes ago to sing the praises to your name. Ask you be with Michael this morning that he brings us a word, that it might be something that we can take out this week and be the witnesses that you'd have us to be. Thank you this time we can come back and give back you a part of what you so richly blessed us with, and pray, Father, we'll bring honor and glory to your name. In the name of Jesus I pray, amen.
All right, our kids will head off to Children's Church. Ah, oh, Chris, I thought that was food for us. When you came in carrying that food, I got excited. You know? We pray. Okay, I got you. We pray for our young people's time to help them and to grow in the Lord. And I know I say this a lot, and I say it a lot because I mean it, and I think it's good for us to acknowledge this. Because I'm always thankful of all the men and women that are willing to serve our children in different ways, whether it be teaching a Sunday school class, whether it be in children's church. Just we have a plethora of people willing to serve, and so thankful for all of them. As we gather here today, I know a lot of you are pretty excited. This is our last day in Daniel, right? Our last sermon in Daniel. Now, obviously, you can go and read Daniel as much as you want. You know, you don't need me to read Daniel to you, but we're going to be wrapping it up today. And, you know, I just think that there's a very strong timing here. We understand that God's providence is always right. And I've had many of you talk to me about this, and we spent a large portion of Wednesday evening discussing this. And this is an understatement to say it this way, but there is a lot of unrest in Israel right now, right? And so I encourage people on Wednesday night, I was like, hey, if you're going to go and educate yourself and read and watch this, you should prepare yourself, because it is some of the most brutal images I have personally witnessed, right? We live in a time of age to where there's not a lot of censorship on these things anymore, and you will see stuff that will upset you. I mean, it upset me. And when I was reading that and you know, praying over the situation and praying for peace in the Middle East, I couldn't help but think back to Daniel chapter 11, when we were discussing that, you know, Daniel receives this prophetic vision, and Daniel's kind of excited at first, and he thinks, hey, the 70 years are almost up. We've almost made it. We're going to get to go back to Israel. We're going to go back and build the temple. We're going to go back to Jerusalem, and things are going to work out. And the angel shares with Daniel, like, well, you're right in some cases that we are going to influence the king, and the king is going to allow some of the exiles to return, but the bad news is most won't go because they're very happy with where they're at. And then he's given a vision of all the way until the future, until the end times. And we discussed this quite a bit the last couple weeks. And he's just shown hardship after hardship after hardship. And what does Daniel do when he's, in response to this, is he hits his knees. He basically curls up in the fetal position. He's just insanely upset. And for us, it's kind of difficult to say, like, man, why was he that upset? Well, he's that upset because I believe Daniel was shown some of the things that you can see right now by going and look. And Daniel was shown this is going to happen to the nation of Israel until Christ returns. And so if you ever needed Daniel to become relevant to you, the things that are happening in Israel over the last weeks began last Saturday, right? So a couple days. Should be very relevant to you right now, because what Daniel was told is going to happen continues to happen in our world, right? Continues to press upon us and show us that God's word is true and God's word is accurate, right? God's word is where truth comes from. You learned that this morning in your small group classes this morning. You learned about our truth is the bedrock of where how we interpret the world, and that comes from our understanding of Scripture, understanding of who Christ is, understanding of our sinful nature. And so, not that you need me to remind you of this, but I think God is constantly reminding us of these things, is that God does what he says he's going to do, and God knows what's going to happen. And he knew this was going to happen, and it's going to continue to happen. But we pick up today Daniel chapter 12. You know, I was doing some studying. One of my hobby might be an extreme use of the word, but man, I love to know where sayings come from, right? Like, deader than a doornail, right? I love to go and research those things and learn where they come from. And one that I thought was very appropriate to us today, it's a saying. It says, it's always darkest before the dawn, right? And so, of course, you know, I went and I looked that up, where it came from. I found this out. It's second only to cleanliness is next to godliness, of being confused is that it actually comes from Scripture, right? If they give these polls to people, they're like, oh, that's in the Bible somewhere. It's not in the Bible. It's not a biblical quote. But it comes from a theologian. His name's Thomas Fuller. In 1650, he recorded this when he was writing a book about Palestine, and he used that term, it's darkest before the dawn. And of course, like everything nowadays, you know, linguistics like to fight and argue too. And so they're not sure if he was the first to use it. They think he possibly, quote unquote, borrowed it from an Irish saying that says the darkest hour of all is the hour before day. So they don't know exactly where it came from. But I think we all can kind of commiserate with this. Man, from Daniel, about Daniel chapter 7, all the way through Daniel chapter 11, man, it's been tough. It's been some tough sermons for you all to have to sit through. It's been some tough information for me to read and to prepare for you to consume. Is that every verse from 8 to 11 is, man, it's going to be hard, and you're going to have to embrace it. And, you know, week after week after week of hearing this, you're like, good night. I was like, man, can we get to something positive? Great news for you today. Today is the positive. Today is the nice bow that the angel gives to Daniel in this prophetic vision. As he says, yes, I know all of these visions up to this point are crushing. Remember, just a reminder, it was so crushing to Daniel, he ends up in the fetal position, right? He's just so upset, he can't even stand it. Because why? He loves his people. And he doesn't want them to have to suffer through all of these things. But what we see today is no matter how bad it looks, no matter how lost it seems, no matter how dark it gets, in the end, Christ overcomes all. And God sets all of this right, right? And I pray that you want that. I pray that you're looking forward to that day. And today we'll discuss that. Let me read some scripture for us. Daniel chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. God's word says this. At that time shall arise Michael, the great prince who has charge of your people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never has been seen. There was a nation till that time. But at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone whose name shall be found written in the book, and many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for this morning. Lord, we thank you for our wonderful time of worship. Lord, I'm just every week just so blessed be a member, to be part of a church that is that sings out to you, that cries out to you, that just pours themselves into their praise. So I'm so thankful for that. It always means so much to me and to others. Lord, as we gather here right now, as we kind of discuss the ending here of Daniel, we're so thankful for the time that you've given us in Daniel, so thankful for this magnificent scope that we've received from ancient history till the future. Lord, we just thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for the overarching theme of the book of Daniel, and that is that you are sovereign, that you do have a timetable, that things are being played out in a fashion that you are fully aware of. Lord, I pray that that gives us peace. I pray that it gives us hope. I pray that we are thankful and understand that our quote-unquote faith muscles have to be exercised. And the way they're exercised are through trials and hardships. So we thank you for those trials. We thank you for the strengthening of our faith. And Lord, we thankful most of all for your Son, Jesus Christ. Because through him, we, just as we sang this morning, our sin and our shame no longer crushes us. We are free from that shame because we understand that our sins have been paid by the precious blood of the Lamb. So we thank you for that reminder. We thank you for that truth. And Lord, we thank you for this time you give us together. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So we come here to the ending of Daniel. We jump right in there. At that time, Now, we have to make a connection. Always remember this, that the original writings, they weren't broken down into chapters and verses. Those were added later to make it easier for people like me to tell you where to turn in your Bible, right? You didn't have to pull out a scroll and flip through scrolls. I can tell you 12, chapter 1, book of Daniel. You can flip right to it. Those of you that are Bible drill masters, you can beat us all right to Daniel chapter 12, chapter 1, right? And so, but when he says, at that time, that's actually referencing back to verses 10 and 11. And so he's talking about, and remember last week we talked about spiritual warfare, spiritual battles that are happening all around us. I don't know if you all, any of you all went to work and took me up on the challenge and you went to work and you talked about spiritual warfare with your coworkers to look at their faces to see how they responded to you talking about that. You probably got some strange looks, probably got a lot of side eye from some people. But Scripture, you'll remember, Scripture clearly tells us spiritual battles are happening all around us. Right? Angels are fighting demons. We have a role of that to play that as we pray. We pray. That's one of the main things that we do in that. We pray and we remain obedient to God. That's one of the things that we do. And so at that time, like during the Antichrist, during the end times, a great prince, Michael, the great prince who has charge of your people. You'll remember from Daniel chapter 11 when we talked about the prince of Persia and we discussed that and I told you that there are certain demons that have authority over certain regions and certain countries, right? And the prince of Persia is a demon that's focused on Persia and to guide them into sinful ways. Well, the great news is God has also assigned angels to be in charge of certain regions as well. And the archangel Michael, right? Michael's the guy. That's actually the guy who I'm named after, believe it or not. There's a little bit of difference between Michael and myself. He's in charge of Israel, and he is the protector of God's people, the nation of Israel, right? And so we see that there's going to be this great battle, and Michael is there, right? And another reminder, and I know I've said this a couple times, and I think I'm so tuned into this is because, man, I got this so wrong for so many years of my life that I'm kind of ashamed of it. But understand this. When Michael is fighting these demons, that's who Satan's counterpart is Michael. God is not fighting Satan in the terms of like, who's going to win? Is it going to be Satan today or is it going to be God today? No, God is not fighting Satan in terms of the way Michael is fighting Satan because who is God? He is the creator of all. He has no equal. So this isn't a battle between God and Satan. This is a battle we're talking about here between Michael and Satan, and they're having this battle. And it says this, and we still get some more hard news. And there shall be a time of trouble. Most of you have experienced times of trouble, so you know what we're talking about here. But then look what it adds in. Such as never has been seen since there was a nation till that time. And so basically, Daniel is being shown again some more prophetic vision. He says, this is going to be worse than it ever has been. And you're like, Michael, I thought this was supposed to be the positive. This was supposed to be the good news. We'll get to the good news. But again, Daniel receives this vision of this prophetic end of times, right? This great tribulation, this time to where Satan is going to look like Satan is just running roughshod over everything, and he's in control of everything, and things are falling apart. And you ask yourself, well, when's that time going to be, Michael? I do not know. And I encourage you not to listen to anyone who tells you when that time is going to be, because they do not know either. But the truth is this, Scripture clearly tells us it's coming. I believe it's closer today than it was last week. I do believe that, right? But the time is coming. And even in the midst of that, it's going to seem like everything is falling apart. It's going to look like God is left. It looks like no one cares and that Satan is going to be victorious, right? But look right here. This is the good news. But at that time, your people shall be delivered. Everyone whose name shall be found written in the book. This is the great news. This is the great news for Israel. This is the great news for us, is that those that are trusting in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior will overcome these end times and will spend eternity in the presence of God. Amen? Right, that's good news. Right, you guys have been waiting for some good news. Here it is. Right, here's the good news in Daniel, at the end of chapter Daniel, is that this is the positive thing. Right, it's very important for us to understand. Right? It's very important for us to understand that as we go through these trials, anybody been through a trial? Yes, you all have. Some of you are in the midst of them right now. I'm sure of that, right? And if you're not in one right now, I got some tough news for you. There's some coming. This is why people like to call me a buzzkill. Like, man, you always keep it real, Michael. That's right. I always keep it real. Right? We need to understand what we're talking about here, right? Let me give you some other scripture here. Matthew chapter 24, verse 21 through 22. This is when we're talking about this great tribulation. For then there will be a great tribulation, such as not been seen from the beginning of the world until now. No, and never will be. And in those days had not been cut short, no human being would be saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short. So even when Jesus is speaking of this in the Gospel of Matthew, he's teaching us and he's sharing with us is that those who have been chosen by God, those that have been the elect, right, they will persevere and will make it through these great trials. Now, one of the things, and I like to always talk about this and share this with people. Notice it clearly says that Michael is going to come what? He's going to come and deliver them. We're thankful for that, because it also means that we can be delivered, that we can be saved. That's an amazing truth. If you're sitting here this morning and you're trusting in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you should be overwhelmed with that response that has happened for you. But there's also this that you have to think about. It doesn't say Michael comes and removes you from the trial, does it? No, it's that God allows you to walk through that trial, to walk through the situation. Reference back in Daniel. Remember the furnace? Let's heat it up. So hot that when we open the gates, it consumes some of the people. Are like, it's a bad job to have, opening the door to the furnace, right? So it's so hot. Does God stop the hand and say, hey, man, you guys, you don't have to go in the fiery furnace. Don't worry about it. I'm protecting you. No, what happens to them? Right into the furnace they go. And then they look in there, and they see the three guys walking around, and then they see a fourth person walking around, a Christophany, and we see this situation, right? It is important for us, and we've talked about this multiple times in our walk through Daniel, it's important for us to understand that our trials are blessings. And as hard as for that is for you to grasp in the midst of that trial, you have to hold true to that. You have to have faith in God. You have to believe in Him who is the author of creation, right? My favorite way to define God is He's the uncreated creator. That's the way I like to think of God. It just blows my mind to think of that, right? Is that He's always existed and He is allowing these trials to happen in your life. Why? To strengthen and grow you. To make you tougher, right? That's when I had prayed that this morning. I know faith isn't a muscle, but I like to think of faith as a muscle. If you don't use a muscle, what happens to it? I know you guys don't know because you guys are all so buff and strong, right? It atrophies. It goes away to nothing. You have to push resistance against your muscles for them to grow, for them to get stronger, for them to fill out more. If your faith is never tested, if you never have anything pushing against you, guess what? You are going to be one of these fly-by-night Christians who the moment a hardship happens, you bail and you're like, hard pass, I'm out of here, right? That is not who Christians are. I have to pray this, and I don't have to is the wrong thing, I get to. I get to pray this with so many of our saints that are maybe a little bit older and maybe dealing with a little of the hardships of what getting older turns into. Don't feel bad. I feel that too, right? I told Melissa I'm hoping to get to the point that I don't make a noise when I get up and sit down. That's my goal right now. I don't want to make that noise, right? I feel that as well, is that we as Christians, the majority of us are going to be called to persevere through life. You're going to be called to go to work and be made fun of. You're going to be called to maybe not get invited to the family reunion because maybe Jamie's going to talk about Jesus and we don't want to hear about Jesus at the family reunion, right? And so you're going to be excluded from that. And as Christians, what are we called to do? We're called to persevere through that. And in the midst of that perseverance, be thankful and give thanks to God. And what do we do while we're doing giving thanks to Him? Also find ways to glorify Him. Right? Daniel is a wonderful example of this, right? Daniel is made a eunuch. He's stolen away from his home. He's basically a ransom victim, right? He's one of the elite. He's taken and he's made to be a slave for two different nations. But what does he do throughout that whole time? He continues to glorify God. He continues to share the gospel. And by sharing, and you know, his gospel, the good news of God, we understand later that a Messiah comes. Daniel would have believed in a Messiah. He would not have known exactly who he was, but he would have known a Messiah was coming one day. And what he does is he shares that, and because of the sharing that, we know of at least two individuals who come to know the Lord because of Daniel's perseverance. So we, as Christians, we got to toughen up. We got to be ready for these things. I cannot tell you how many times I've sat down and talked with people, and they've basically said this: "Man, I thought when I became a Christian and I came down the aisle and, you know, you tried to drown me up here in this baptismal, and I thought everything would be perfect." And I'm like, "Man," I was like, "I don't know who told you that, but it was not me. It is not going to be perfect." If anything, Scripture promises us two things. The number one thing you're promised in Scripture is salvation in Jesus Christ and Christ alone. Right? That's the number one thing promised in Scripture. That's a message from Genesis through Revelation. Some books it's easier to find than others, but it's a clear message throughout Scripture. And the number two thing you're promised as a Christian are trials and hardships. Right? That's why the entire backside of Daniel talks all about the trials and hardships. God is using his word, he's using the life of Daniel to remind you and to prepare you for your hardships. And I'll be the first to tell you, you think your life is bad, I'm very confident it's not as bad as Daniel's. Very confident of that. You've not been stolen and taken ransom. You haven't been forced into slavery. You haven't been forced into, you know, trying to make to eat the king's food and to change your ways. Remember, they're trying to change them into Babylonians. They're doing everything they can to change them. Your life is not like that. But Daniel perseveres. You've also heard me say this quite often to us. One of the dangers of preaching through Daniel is to try to say, just be like Daniel. If you can just be like Daniel, everything will be okay. Daniel's sinful also. Daniel's not perfect. So even though we look at Daniel, the truth is all his characteristics that he excels at have are made perfect in Christ. In Christ's submission to God. In Christ's perseverance. Right? As Christ's focus, as Christ's desire to share the gospel, as Christ's desire to share with everyone the truth of what his message was, he was laser focused and did it very well. And so just as we wrap up Daniel today, just remember, no matter how good you think Daniel is, Christ did it perfect. I know you guys are like, "Michael, we've said that. You've said that every sermon about Daniel." And you're right. I think I have. And that's because we need to understand that. Daniel is a great example, but he pales in comparison to the perfect example of Christ. We have to always remember that, right? One of my go-to messages, and I know this is one of the favorite books of Scripture of Dallas Berg, and I know why, because you all are a working church and you all are a get-something-done kind of church. But we need to remember this from James chapter 1, verse 12. James spends a lot of time talking about trials. And remember, James the Just, that's his nickname, half-brother to Jesus, ran the Jerusalem church. "Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him." Amen? That's what we're holding on to. When you sing about this living hope, when you talk about what is my hope based in, I pray you're not hoping in yourself. Because I can promise you, everyone here has let someone down, including yourself. So I hope you're not hoping in you. I know a lot of you are super smart, but I pray you're not basing it in your intelligence. Because how do you compare to God? Right? I pray that, I know a lot of you all are super hardworking. It's one of the characteristics of Kentucky and our county is that a lot of hardworking people. You can't work yourself out of this hole you've dug. You can't. Right? It's been promised. The crown of life has been promised to us, to those who love God. So what allows us to be saved? It's our faith and faith alone. Our faith in Christ. Right? That's who we're having to look towards. That's who we're hoping in. That's one of the things. And I know many of you have taken the trip to the Middle East. might be a little tougher right now if you want to take that trip. You can go to a lot of things. You can go to the burial place of this apostle, or you can go to this mount, and like this is where this was at. This is the Garden of Gethsemane. You can go and visit all those things, but you know one of the things you can't go and see? The tomb of Christ. You know why you can't visit the tomb of Christ? Because he's not there. Guess where Christ is right now? You know this. He's sitting at the right hand of God right now. And so when you are sitting through those trials, and I know it seems when your boat is taking on water, it is very hard to be happy for that hole in the side of the boat. I understand that. I've bailed plenty of water out of my boat in my life as well, right? I know that is difficult. But what are we trusting in? What are we hoping in? We're not hoping in that boat. We're hoping in Jesus Christ and what he accomplished on the cross. And this is what Daniel receives here in Daniel chapter 12, is the angel here is painting this picture for him. And he's saying, no matter how hard this seems, and remember, he was shown from his time all the way to the end of history, right? So remember, when we're studying Daniel, it's a little tricky. It's the future for Daniel. It's ancient history for us. But then we get to Daniel chapter 12. It's future for all of us, right? So that kind of shifts there, that perspective. It's kind of interesting there, is that he's shown all of that. He's shown the hardships of the nation. He has shown this great tribulation to where Satan is just turned. It appears he's just been turned loose to do what he wants to do. He was shown all of that, but then what's he reminded of? Hoping in the Lord. The message is very clear to us. We don't need a lot of theologians to help us understand this. The answer is clear, is that we have to be hoping in Christ. You can't hope in your situation. There is no one here that needs to hear that more than me. I am the classic. I was like, man, if I can just get through this week, next week will be better. If I can just get to this point to where this bill is paid off, things will be better. If I can just get to this point to where my kids act a little bit better, everything will be better. But the truth is this, when you get to that stage, it's just more trouble. It's just more hardship. Why? And you live in a fallen world. You yourself still struggle with sin. You still have those problems. So your joy cannot be based in your situation, because situations change. Some situations are good, some situations are bad. Our joy has to be based in the thing that never changes, and that's God. Right, when we sang this morning, my God, my rock, my redeemer, that's why I don't know the writer of that song, but my guess is the reason he used rock is because rocks don't change. They're hard to move, right? That's who God is. He doesn't change, and that's what we can trust in him. But there's also some tough news here as well for us, right? And we see this in Scripture, verse 2. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, that's exciting, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. So even in this wrap-up of Daniel, even in this positive news, and Daniel finally gets to breathe a sigh of relief, and he's like, man, at least it gets better at some point, right? He can hold on to that hope that God is going to set everything right. It's the same hope that we cling to. Right? Is he still given a message that we all need to hear every day, is that there are consequences to our actions. I know we live in a time and an age to where that seems to have been removed and no one has to deal with their consequences. That is not a biblical statement. That is not a biblical concept. That is not how God operates. Let me read the good to you. We'll always start with the good. Also from the Gospel of John, chapter 5, verse 24. Truly, truly, again, anytime you see two words back to back, pay attention, pretty important. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. Amen, right? This is the exciting news. This is the elect. This is the chosen. These are those of us that have been adopted into the family of God, where we receive full rights. Like, we're not treated like a rented mule. We receive full rights in the God's family. That's an amazing thing. That's the good. That's those of us that will arise to everlasting life. That's the positive. Now let's talk about the tough answer here. You'll read a companion verse, Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, I think we don't have the time this morning to flesh that out. I think it's super interesting that he equates faithless with cowardly. Because, man, let me tell you something. To be a Christian, you got to be bold. You got to be confident. You've heard me say this about Daniel, and man, I'm still amazed by it. It is almost like Daniel has no concern for himself, for him to be safe. He is insanely bold. And why can he be so bold? Because he has full faith in God. If God is supposed to throw me into the lion's den and they're supposed to devour me, hey, I'm okay with that because I trust in God. But also, if they're going to throw me into the lion's den and God is going to send an angel to shut the lion's mouth, I have faith that God can do that as well. Also, remember, Daniel never presumes because he's special that nothing hard can happen to him. He has a life full of hardships. But you never see him bemoaning God, why has this happening to me? Anybody ever prayed that? Anybody ever thought that? Yeah, I think all of us have. But Daniel, again, is showing us how he doesn't think that way because he has his faith in God. Right? The faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, there's my favorite word, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. So, man, this is some hard stuff that we just gotta talk about it. I know there's a lot of churches that don't deal with this anymore. They only want to talk about the good verses, and they want to talk about, like, hey, man, Skittles and rainbows and everything's going to be cool. Man, preachers that preach that, they are not reading Scripture. Because some of us this morning here or at home may be lost, may not be trusting in the Lord Jesus as their Lord and Savior. The truth is this, Jesus is Lord. Whether you acknowledge him as Lord and Savior is what we're discussing here, right? For those of us that are not chosen, that are not of the elect, that are not trusting in Christ as their Lord and Savior, there's consequences for their lives as well, for their choices, right? Their choices are going to lead to a lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death, which is an eternal life removed from the presence of God. I don't know if you all have ever been in enough pain. I've only one time in my life have I been in this level of pain to where you just grit your teeth and you're just like, oh, just God, I need a mouthpiece because I'm going to break my teeth. It's so much pain. Scripture mentions and discusses hell will be an eternity of that, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And so even in this really positive bit of Scripture, we see God returning to this discussion of consequences to our actions, of consequences of what we do with our lives, of consequences to what type of media we consume, consequences to what do you watch on TV, consequences to what kind of music do you listen to, consequences to what do you read, consequences, I can go on and on, Bobby, I can do this all day, right? Consequences of what you teach your children. Consequences of what you value. Are you gathered with God's people when the church gathers? Or are you putting other things in front of that? Also known as idolatry. Right? We need to think about these things. We need to be aware of these things. But the great news for us, right, is that those of us that are chosen are going to rise to everlasting life. Right? Some of you probably picked up on this morning. Talking with Crystal is always a joy. Talking about music with Crystal, I'm always like, I should just shut up and let Crystal tell me what she's talking about because I don't understand this. But I texted Crystal. I was like, hey, Crystal, do we have this song in our hymnal? And I looked for it because I couldn't find it, but I am notorious for making up words to myself, right? I'm notorious for giving other songs different names. And maybe it's Victory in Jesus or maybe it's Jesus Won. I mean, I just make up names to things, right? And I was like, is this, and she goes, no, but it's in my extra one. And so you heard her pray at the prelude this morning. Oh, what a day, right? I want to give you the backstory. I love backstories from some of our hymns. This individual, he was a new Christian, right? Very new to the ways of Scripture. And his mother-in-law, who was a very godly person, who was instrumental in his life of coming to know the Lord, she suffers a massive stroke. Can't walk, can't talk. And also about that same time, a young girl who was an orphan comes to their church and sings a song, and she ends the song, "What a Day That Will Be." And he's a songwriter, and so he was trying to capture what this means, right? What will it mean when Christ returns? What will it mean to me when I see the risen Savior face to face? What does that mean to me? And this is where I really wish I could sing, because I would sing it for you, but don't worry, Logan, I'm not going to sing it. I'm going to read it for you. A little spoken word for you this morning, right? This is what the hymn says. And Crystal will show you the hymn in the book if you want to see it, right? I know a lot of you already know it. There's coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. And then the chorus, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. And he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. That's what we rest in. That's where we hope for. That's how we persevere, because we know for those of us that are trusting in Christ as our Lord and Savior, that is our future. I completely understand. God understands it better than I can. I understand there are difficult days. Some of you are experiencing them right now. Some of you have been through them. The truth is this, you've got more coming. You're welcome. They're coming. But this is what you have to hold on to. Our joy and our happiness is not based in circumstances. It's based in who our Lord and Savior is. This is what Daniel was shown. This is what Daniel was given to make it through. Remember, Daniel's in his late 80s when he receives this vision. I mean, he's had a hard life. But he says, you know what, Daniel? It's all going to work out, because one day my son is coming. One day he's going to set everything right. Right? I know one of the things that I still struggle with in my sin nature is, like, I like to get even. I don't like things to be wrong, and I cannot stand bullies. And I tell myself on a very consistent basis, Michael, one day Christ is returning, and all this is going to be set right. And that person who's just being mean to you just because, they're going to have to answer for that. And that's for God to set right, not for me to set right. What is my role? To persevere, stay joyful, stay focused on God, share the gospel. The fact that God wants you on his team to share the gospel should blow your mind. As messed up as you are, that God wants you involved in his efforts should blow your mind. But I'm telling you right now, he does. And being hateful and mean and negative is not how you share the gospel, because you do not represent the gospel very well when you're like that. Are you going to have bad days? Absolutely, man, you're going to. But those are few and far between when you're able to focus on the joy of who Christ is. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for today, Lord. Lord, we thank you for the reminder and the truth in your word of who you are. Lord, we're thankful for the reminder today that there are consequences in our lives. As I mentioned earlier, I know we live in a time and age to where there are just so many safety nets built into so many of our lives. Sometimes it's difficult to deal with those consequences. But Lord, this is not a concept that we see in your word. We understand that you care what we think about, what we read, what we talk about, what we focus on, what we meditate on. That matters to you. And if it matters to you, it for sure should matter to us. So Lord, we're thankful for the indwelling of the Spirit that helps guide us and direct us and focus on these good things. Lord, we're thankful for your word as you help us persevere through hard times. Lord, I have no doubt that there's people here today that are suffering through trials as we speak. So, Lord, we pray that you will lift them up, that we pray that the Spirit will give them the ability to focus on you, to know that you are calling us to persevere, and not just to barely make it through, but to make it through with smiles on our faces, us lifting up glorious words of praise to you, and us being able to say, yes, it's hard, but my Savior reigns. I love a living God who loves me. And Lord, he has promised to see me through these hard days. And I am putting my faith in him. So Lord, thank you for this reminder. Lord, I thank you for this precious time through the walk of Daniel. Lord, I pray for our upcoming study as we begin to discuss the things of Scripture and other books of the Bible. We thank you for that time. And Lord, I just pray that you continue to give us the strength and the ability to persevere. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Let us stand as we respond by singing that our Christ has arisen.
For a lot of things that Raphael and Crystal do, a lot. But one of the things I'm really thankful for is that we've normalized that's not just an Easter song. You can sing that song whenever you want, right? It's ties in perfectly with what we were discussing today. The hope that we have is an arisen Savior. It's not in a grave somewhere that you go and you can pray at and you can put flowers. It's not in that. It's in a risen Savior, and that's where our hope is based. So thankful for that. Jeremiah, why don't you come up here for a second? No pressure. I just wanted to tell Jeremiah and Chris, they did a great job last week with our shoebox kickoff. Yes, good job. And because you're standing here, you close us in prayer? Sure. Absolutely.
Dear Lord, I thank you so much that you allow us to gather together today to worship you and to study your word, to grow closer as a family of believers, but to grow stronger in the faith that we want to go and share your love with the nations. Yes. And I thank you for Brother Michael coming every Sunday to educate us and to help us grow in that way. And it's in your name I pray. Amen.
Great job.